The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Myself, Fred Fowler, and A.J. Hoffman, and we have a great, great show planned for you. Ready to rock and roll today. And appreciate Steve and Sean. They had terrific guests today. So do we. We've got a lot of them lined up. Chuck Liddell is supposed to join us here any minute. So when he does, we'll jump right in. Also scheduled to appear with us today, Justin Forsett. Paxton Lynch, who our listeners in Houston might have some interest in because
they better have some interest.
Well, I'm guessing the Texans will. I bet he's long gone by the time we get to 22. Joey Bosa scheduled to join us. Chuck Pagano, coach of the Colts. And a very, very full 5 o'clock hour in Houston, 3 o'clock hour here. Steve Atwater, Brandon Marshall, Cuba Gooding Jr. When we were talking about great American actors the other day, it's a name we didn't include.
Should
but
be on the list,
he's
yeah.
pretty damn good. Jamal Charles also, who our listeners back there know very well. And as usual, R.J. Bell will join us. Usually he's at 5:30 Houston time. That will be at 6 o'clock Houston time this week. But we will break down all the gambling of the Super Bowl. And, man, this week's kind of flown by. We're already
it's the last day.
I know.
It's crazy.
And I was telling people yesterday, the first day is always a little rough because you know, we're working on a clock we're not used to, and we never know what guests we're going to get right off the bat. Second day is always better. Today we nail it. So today we're going to nail the hell out of this show, Mr. Hoffman.
I'm excited for the show. I thought yesterday was great. I loved the interviews we had. It's been fun being out here, man. This town is really cool. I spent basically the last 4 hours just roaming around the city and checking
city.
It out. And I'll tell you what, it's not the greatest city for a pedestrian.
No, it's not. You think it would be?
Boy, there are some hills. Like you wouldn't believe it is it's work,
and it was hard for me to go find a place to run too. There's just not a lot of, you know, not a lot of great places for that. And my only beef,
Golden Gate Park, it's great. They got a little running, a jogging trail.
Yeah, I found that out too late if they had one over there. But my only complaint about it is they don't really do a very good job of keeping their homeless under control here. And the other thing is, it's just so many people in such a small area. And it was fine when we first got here, but the last couple of days as people have started pouring in, man. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with the show, very simple. Hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776.
I did notice the downtown crazy people here are way more vocal than the downtown crazy people in Houston.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
there's yeah. a lot of
and
screaming.
They'll get up right in your face, too, which I'm not a fan of.
I haven't dealt with that, but
I've done it twice now. I'm just kind of like, dude, get away from me.
I had someone yelling at me to get mad. You know you want to get mad. You need to get mad.
You kind of do.
Do it for me. And I was like, I don't know you. I don't really want to get mad right now. I mean, I'm not in the mood to be mad. But
overall, fantastic city. I think this is a great, great place for the Super Bowl. And I think... Yeah, it's. I don't know how the game will play out in terms of being out in Santa Clara, but I got to say, as far as the setup for us and what's going on out here, it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
So
everything's really close. It's really convenient. There are a ton of great bars around here.
Indeed,
I haven't been disappointed in any of the meals I had. I mean, it's a good city, man. It really is.
Yeah, and it's one of those places. If you've never been, I think you owe it to yourself to visit here someday because. I honestly would put this on my list of places where I would live if I ever decided to move. I mean, this one, I had forgotten how much I like this city. It's just been a very, very long time. So, anyway, once again, you want to get in touch with the show, text us at 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. And we welcome in everyone on the affiliates listening. Hope you've enjoyed the shows this week. And if you have, then check us out on our station in Houston. And everything available on podcastarena.com, where, of course, we have all the Yahoo shows. And as well as the shows on our local station. So you can go there, check that out, and hopefully you will enjoy it. So we're trying to get Chuck Liddell. Do we know what's going on with that?
Yeah, he's walking over here. He's just very casual. Casual pace for old Chuck.
Yeah, well, you know, he's getting up there.
I don't know about that. I mean,
well,
you could tell him that.
I won't.
Sure not.
No, of course not. But yeah, I see him making his way over here, yeah. So we will get to him in just a second. But anyway, like I said, a lot of great guests yesterday. If you missed out on them, man, go and go hit podcastarena.com because there's some great stuff. So, all right, we are
here. He is sitting down now. The Iceman himself, Chuck Liddell, joins us. How's it going, Chuck?
It's going good,
man. Right. Long time no talk. What's life after fighting like for you, Chuck?
Relaxing.
Yeah,
I have a lot of fun. I bet raising some kids and having a good time. Are
you doing coaching?
Not much. I mean, here and there. I mean, if guys ask me to come in, I'll come work with them. I still like working with guys, but I don't know if I want to do a fight team. I haven't decided yet. But
well, yeah, I mean, you're a guy who a long time 205 champion. What do you think of the guys that are in this division now? How do you think they compare to the guys that were going through when you were there, you know, the Shamrocks and even the Rampage Jackson era? How do these new group, the Gustafsons, Daniel Cormiers, John Jones, compare to you guys?
There's a lot of great guys out there nowadays, and this is killing me.
I'm sorry. Got you some water here, Chuck.
It's all right. It's been a long day. I got this stupid call. All right. No, there's a lot of great fighters out there today. I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, I think they're comparable. I mean, it's comparing them is, to me, is like I still think there's a lot of great talent before. We had a lot of great talent in the fight. Now there's a lot of great talent now. I mean, it's fun to watch.
What are your thoughts on Conor McGregor and the sort of rise to stardom that he's had? And is there anything you've seen in this sport that you can compare it to?
I think it's great. I mean, he's done a great job, and it's one of those things. I mean, he does a good job of mixing his style of fighting. Is his style. I love the way he fights. I get a lot of flack because I said in an interview that I don't like the trash talk. I don't like the way he talks. And, you know, that was the headline of the article, and his fans give me a hard time. I said, man, hey, Michael, hey, moron, did you read the article?
Yeah.
I didn't think so. Because I just, after that, I said, I love the way he fights. He's my top five guys to watch right now. I love watching him. He's a great, great fighter. I'm excited about his next fight. I mean, as a coach, manager, I don't know that that would have gone right to RDA first. But as a fight fan, I love it.
The guy's talk isn't my favorite thing. He's got a lot of belief in himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, and you know, I think he should have. I would say I would. I think it would have been a safer move to go up and fight a few fights up there and get comfortable with the weight class, and then go after him. But hey, if he doesn't think he needs it, maybe he doesn't. We'll see.
You a football fan?
I'm a football fan. This is actually the first year though I wasn't able to get around to doing fantasy. I run fantasies from back when we used to do it on the paper. They get the newspaper out and score it by hand. So. Yeah, it was the first year I didn't do that, so I didn't pay as much attention this year as I normally do. But, Green Bay didn't make it in. I was hoping they were going to squeeze by, but, you know, it was tough. But Jared Allen made it in, so I'm really excited about this one.
You going to go to the game?
I'm debating whether or not I'm going to go to the game or watch. I'm going to stay here for it for sure. Just kind of want to see him after the game.
Right.
But, I'm kind of deciding because, you know, it's between me and somebody else getting the ticket, so it's. I don't know if I'm. I might just let him have it. He's a Carolina fan. I might just let him have it.
Chances are good you could kick that guy's ass, though. I mean,
most things don't. Most things in my life don't come down to that.
Oh, that's what it should come down to.
Honestly, that would make things a lot easier for
right.
Me, you know, if it came down to that, it'd be nice. But no, and things don't come down to that for me too often.
That's Chuck Liddell from the UFC, former 205 light heavyweight champion. Appreciate you taking some time with us, Chuck, and enjoy San Francisco, my man.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here at Radio Row in San Francisco. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ. AJ is the real. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And just had Chuck Liddell working now on Justin Forsett, expected to join us next. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, this is the way it works here at Radio Row sometimes. A lot of times you get, we have these guys scheduled, and we were just talking about it. It's so much harder for them to keep their schedules these days because there's so many fans that they have to deal with, and Chuck Liddell was just taking pictures and all sorts of things. So.
Dude, it makes the whole thing very difficult having all these fans here. I mean, I guess it's good for them, but it kind of makes it more difficult for us. Kind of sucks.
Well,
what's going on? Can we get some mic on my man Justin? Justin Forsett joins us on the program. How's it going,
yes, sir,
man?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Our pleasure. This is we were just talking about I don't know how many of these you've done, but since they've let the fans in there, it's hard to get around in here. I mean, it's a whole different animal. You noticing that?
It's crazy. I just saw Larry the Cable Guy pass by. It was like a huge melee. I thought Obama was in the house, but it's a different crowd out here.
So a lot of people in Houston will remember you from your time with the Texans, but great year 2 years ago with the Ravens. This year, some injuries, and it didn't work out for really – the whole team, it didn't work out this year. How's your health right now, and how do you think you'll be going into – will you be ready for camp next year?
Oh, definitely be ready for camp. Rehab is going well. Should be clear here in a couple of weeks. Just rehab and training. Things are going according to plan.
It seemed when you were – up until you hit Baltimore, you were destined to be kind of a journeyman, sort of a backup, and – you got to Baltimore, and it just was a perfect fit for you. I mean, what do you think? What do you think clicked for you in Baltimore, and you were able to have obviously your most successful season, and sort of turn your career into a totally different trajectory that it was headed?
Yeah, definitely. It's just an opportunity, man. I mean, I'm not the guy when I get off the bus that guys are like, "Oh man, this is the starting running back." You know, just off build.
You're not
stature.
Built like Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, you know. Right. So, you know, it's just hard for guys to say, "Okay, this is going to be my every down back." But we got into a situation where. You know, I had to be the guy to step in and take over that role, and, you know, the rest is history.
You obviously know Coach Kubiak pretty well from your time in Baltimore last year and then, of course, in Houston. Are you surprised at all that he's been able to turn that team around as quickly as he has?
Not surprised at all, man. He's a great coach, man. Dear friend of mine, close friend to the family. He looked out for me definitely in Baltimore and Houston, and he's a great coach, man. He understands his guys. He has a great team around him, too, a great coaching staff. So I'm not surprised at the success that he's having.
Was he, as an offensive coordinator, how was he different than he was as a head coach for you in your time with him?
Well, I got to see him a little more in the meetings. You know, Coach Dennison was probably the guy handling most of the meeting stuff when I was in Houston. But as office coordinator, he was just a little more hands-on. And you know, we had success up there with him, and now, you know, it's transitioned over to Denver.
What do you think is going to happen to this game? You think they're going to get it done?
I think so. I think so, man. I think you got two good defenses. I think it's going to depend on the run game, who's going to have the best day on the ground. But they got a lot of weapons on in Denver, and I think they can take it.
Since Coach Harbaugh got to Baltimore and Joe Flacco got to Baltimore, really, there haven't been many down seasons. Last year was by far the worst. I mean, yeah. What do you think went wrong with the Ravens this last year?
Well, we had tons of injuries. I mean, we lost key figures on our team. I mean, you had Terrell Suggs that went down early in the first game against Denver. We had Steve Smith go down. We had our starting center go down. I went down. Joe went down. I mean, we had a lot of guys going down, and, you know, we weren't finishing at the end of the games. You know, a lot of our games we lost like 8 points or less. So when it came down to that clutch moment, we weren't finishing. We got to do a better job this year.
You guys are involved in something really cool here because what happened in Flint is just almost a tragedy here. And tell us what you guys are doing with that because I, I'm I mean, this is amazing, some of the players you're involved with.
And yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So what I start seeing the stuff on the news and researching and reading articles about, you know, kids drinking contaminated water, and the color of the water was brown and orange and all this stuff. And I started thinking that me as a father, like having my kids having to deal with that. I mean, this is something you shouldn't have to deal with in America. Like, this is something you hear about in third world countries. So I was like, as a father, man, I have to do something. So I got a group of guys together. I knew I owned a wipe company with Shower Pill. So I was like, man, let's do something. Let's send some wipes out there to the people, because right now some of the people are using bottled waters and wet wipes. So let's go give them a better option. And, you know, we got together. Guys like Torrey Smith is a huge part. Steve Smith, Marshawn Lynch, Matt Hasselbeck. Those guys, a lot of guys were involved in it. And we were able to get some stuff done. And next Tuesday, a couple of us are going out there to help serve the community.
I forgot that you're a cow guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is like a second home to you.
Yeah.
You're a Texas kid, right? How'd you end up going from Texas to Cal Berkeley?
Well, Abilene Christian told me I could walk on, so I was like, I don't want to do that. And so I sent some tape out west to some teams, and Cal got back to me, offered me a scholarship.
At some point you were going to go to Notre Dame or something like that? What happened with that?
Yeah, so I was going to Notre Dame, and then a week before signing in, they told me they didn't need me anymore. So I had to kind of start the recruiting process over again and signed, you know, so many backs or whatnot. So it is what it is. It all worked out for me.
When you started the process, what was your top choice? Where did you really want to go?
Anyone, D1. Anywhere D1. That was the goal. I just wanted an opportunity to play D1 football. And late down the road, I think I signed at Cal after their spring game. So it was a long, long journey.
Well, you grow up cheering for the Longhorns or Texas A&M or Texas Tech?
I grew up in Florida, so I didn't move to Texas until my junior year in high school. So I was a Florida State Seminole guy.
Gotcha. They didn't offer either, huh?
No, they didn't offer.
A bunch of suckers.
Old Bobby Bowden.
Justin Forsett, our guest, said basically, getting back to the Ravens, you guys, with the injuries, is it just a matter of, hey, you need to get back healthy, Joe needs to get back healthy, and or do you think that it's Steve, for that matter, too? Do you think you need to just there's some other things you need to add, or do you just feel like it's a matter of, if the team's healthy next year, we're going to be competitive?
I think, even with our injuries, we were still competitive. I mean, we're still losing games by 8 points or less, but we got to finish better. You know, when the guys get back, when we get back and we're healthy, we have to finish better in the fourth quarter, and that's something we're going to have a strong emphasis on this year.
Is it frustrating when you're out and you see a close loss like that and you think, you know, one or two plays here, if I'm out there on the field, that might have made the difference in the game?
You know, when you're watching the games on TV, you know, you get a whole different perspective. So, definitely, as a viewer, it was tough to watch. But you know, you just got to cheer your team on and, you know, support them as best you can.
All right, that's Justin Forsett, man. Really appreciate what you guys are doing for Flint too. That's very cool, man.
Oh, thank you, appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, sir. All right, we're gonna take a very quick break here. At some point. Look, I still can't hear whether or not there's music, but hey, we're gonna take a quick break. And coming up next, we've got who do we have next? We don't have anybody next, but we do have Paxton Lynch coming up at the end of the hour, which will be very cool. Okay, now I can hear the music. Sorry, guys, it's just really loud in here. There's a lot of people, and even with headphones on, it's kind of hard to tell what anybody's saying in your ear, anything. So we're doing the best we can with it. That's how it works here. But Paxton Lynch is coming up one segment from now. Quick break. Brett Bauer, AJ Hoffman here at Radio Row.
Watch all this brouhaha.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back live here in San Francisco on Radio Row. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. you want to get in touch with us, a couple ways to do it. Just hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real. Or you can hit us up on the text line at 713-780-3776. And got a lot of good stuff going on here today. The very full show with interviews. This is one of the few times we don't have anybody scheduled.
I'm all right with that.
I am too. What do you want to get to? Because there's a lot that we're going to need to talk about today.
Well, we could talk about football. We could talk about John football. We could talk about, did you hear Snoop Dogg got all his gear jacked last night?
I did not hear that.
Yeah. Damn San Francisco. He's in here trying to do some Super Bowl stuff. He got all his equipment jacked. Man, there's a bunch going on in the sports world. The Clippers apparently going to trade Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's there's a lot going on. And Louisville is going to they're going to self-impose ban, which they're lucky if that's all they get.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will wind up being more than that. But that's also good news for a team like LSU that's probably a bubble team. That's
right.
One less team that they have to deal with. So, of course, Roger Goodell had his.
Oh, the Texans are going to play in Mexico?
Yeah. Yeah.
You tell me, Fred. You're leading the show. You tell me what you want to talk about. I'm ready.
Well, let's talk about the Texans in Mexico because I saw Sicario. I don't want to go.
No way. No thanks, man.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Mexico, and there are areas that I love, but I wouldn't. There's too much going on down there now, and I know it's a huge market.
I'm guessing security-wise it'll be pretty intense. I'm guessing it'll be a lot like it is here. But, yeah, I don't know. If you're a Texans fan, you trying to make that trip, I don't know.
I have a lot of friends who've been there recently, and they rave about Mexico City. I've been there. It's not a place I care to go back. It's just too many people. And I've never liked places where there's just the population is so big that it's difficult to really enjoy a place. And I have no interest in it, but I see what the NFL's doing here. And if you're the Raiders, it's a home game you're giving up, which, okay, big deal.
You don't have a home.
You don't really have much of one. And, again, it's their attempt to get into another market and see how it might go. So I find it interesting that the Texans are part of that, and, it'll be a Monday night game. But I think it's kind of an advantage if you're the Texans because it's better to go play there, I think, than to go into Oakland and have to play those guys. And who knows how those teams are going to be next year, but I would say going in, that's one of those games we always talk about that are toss-up games. That's one that, right now I think the Raiders might even be favored in, depending on what happens in the draft and whether the Texans get a quarterback. But I think that was very interesting. The other thing that I also wanted to get to was apparently Eddie Lacy is checking in at about 260 right now.
It's a big boy, man. He didn't used to look like that. He was always a big running back. It's getting out of control. He needs to get with Jim Stuckey and Dan Marino about that Nutrisystem and figure this thing out because that's getting out of control. It's getting out of hand. I mean, he looks like a guard.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
Well, and you can't stay healthy like that either.
And, I mean, listen, the guy's a great athlete, and I'm sure he's in his mind, he's like, I can still run at this weight, but you can't possibly be as effective. You can't be at your prime when you're a 260-pound running back. You just can't.
You know what irritates me? It's a little thing. Ryan Leaf was on Dan Patrick today.
Uh-huh.
Said basically the same stuff he told us. That shows up on Pro Football Talk. Not that we did it yesterday. Not that we had it yesterday.
That's all right.
And,
we got picked up by the Yahoo.
Yeah, it's bigger than
the main Yahoo page. Picked up our interview with Ryan Leaf yesterday, which was it's crazy how it works out that way. You know, we had a ton of guests planned out all day yesterday, and a lot of huge names. And don't get me wrong, there were a lot of really great interviews. The Ryan Leaf, the way we got Ryan Leaf came about totally by surprise. We had Craig Gass on, who's a buddy of mine and
friend of the show.
Yeah,
definitely.
And we didn't have him planned to be on. I was like, oh, if we've got an open spot, let's get you on today. He says, fine. He walks over. He's like, hey, you mind if I bring Ryan Leaf on with me? And Ryan Leaf's not doing media for the most part. He said he wasn't here to do any media.
Here to hang out with Craig, basically.
Yeah, and then we end up sitting down 30 minutes with him talking about you know, being thrown up on the floor of prison or the floor of the jailhouse and going to prison and trying to avoid getting raped and taking a bunch of pills. And I mean, it's just crazy. And it, like he said, looking at himself in the mirror with a John football, he says it's really eerily similar to what he went through. It's that was really cool, I think, for an interview that we didn't have any plans on having.
Right.
And not like Ryan Leaf is, you know, he's not the biggest star we had yesterday, for sure. Not even close to the best football player we had on yesterday. No. But I thought he was one of the most interesting interviews we could have had.
Yeah, and those are all available on podcastarena.com. If you get a chance, check it out, because he had a lot of good stuff to say, not just about Manziel, but his own situation. And you're right, we had some bigger names: Richard Sherman, Doug Flutie, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino,
Tim Tebow,
Victor Cruz. It was really a full show of just one star after another. And if you haven't had a chance to hear some of those interviews, I highly recommend you go back and listen to the Ryan Leaf interview, because there's a lot more detail than what Dan Patrick got today. That's, you know, suddenly that becomes news because, you know, gosh, we said the same thing yesterday.
Dan Patrick didn't ask him about getting raped.
No, probably not.
That's right.
So what is the story on Blake Griffin? When did this come out?
Apparently this morning. The Clippers, they've decided that if they are not, they're sort of in the same boat as the Rockets. You know, if you're not in a spot where you're going to make a deep playoff run, and clearly doesn't look like the Clippers, it doesn't look like anybody besides Golden State is going to win a title. You know, they say they're going to look hard at the trade market for deals involving Blake Griffin. And that's, I guess that's if they come up short in the playoffs. So in the offseason, I guess, more than right now is what they're looking at. And that's according to Adrian Wojnarowski. You know, they said that the Clippers won't hesitate to move out Griffin if it could help land unrestricted free agent Kevin Durant over the summer, which that makes sense. I mean,
right.
if you can get Kevin Durant, you move him, and that's fine. But it says the Clippers could well be reaching a turning point with their present core, with the franchise never been past the second round of the playoffs, and it's been a feeling that this is a make-or-break season for the team. And despite the fact they've got a pretty good record, they're still a ways behind what San Antonio and Oklahoma City are doing, and those teams are a ways behind what Golden State is doing. So you probably don't have too high of expectations if you're Clippers front office right now. So, but apparently anything outside of a finals appearance could be considered a failure for a loaded team so deep into the luxury tax territory.
Why would you not move on from Chris Paul before you move on from Blake Griffin?
I think
older player.
I think the Blake Griffin thing with the, I mean, he's punching the towel boy and things like that. I think that's sort of,
is that a euphemism or?
I think that, you know, some people think that maybe he doesn't care about basketball enough. There's questions about that. I think Chris Paul, while, like you said, he's not as young, Chris Paul is probably more difficult to replace than Blake Griffin.
Probably, although I guess if you're going to, you know, hit the reset button, you want to hit the reset button younger. I hope teams aren't overreacting to the fact that, oh, well, we got to get better than the Warriors. Well, you're not going to get better than the Warriors.
There's nothing
you're going to have to let this thing play out. And at some point, somebody's going to get hurt on that team. There's no way. I mean, they were remarkably healthy last year. Boy, I tell you what, I had a lot of fun the other night watching the Warriors-Wizards game in a bar down here with a bunch of Warriors fans, obviously, because of where we are. And my goodness, they're just so much fun to watch. They're so good. And yes, if you're another team, you're looking at that going, okay, what do we need to do to compete with that? To me, that's the wrong answer. The right answer is, what can we do to our team so that moving forward we can be as good as we can be? Because they've got to come back to the pack. Because if they don't, it doesn't matter what you put together. It really doesn't.
So great. Somebody on Twitter called me a Warriors bandwagon fan. I started cheering for them after they won a title. All right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
At Radio Row here in San Francisco, and very excited about our next guest because he's a guy I've got a chance to watch play a lot over the last couple years, especially in Memphis. And if you're a Houston Texans fan, I got bad news. He's not going to be around at 22, but might be a guy they trade up for. Paxton Lynch joins us. Paxton, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you all for having me.
Man, how did you end up at Memphis? From what I understand, you were a kind of a big noise high school prospect in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
How do you end up going to Memphis of all places?
Well, my senior year, I got hurt, missed the first five games, played the last five games, played pretty well, got invited to All-Star game. I don't remember the name of it. I think it might have been like East West or something like that. And then I played really well in that. And then, you know, that's where kind of all my attention came from. And then that's when like Florida and schools like that kind of became interested, started talking to me. But, you know, those kind of fell through. And then I went on an official visit to Memphis the last weekend that they had their official visits. So I went there, committed there, came back home, went on signing day, went to go sign my letter of intent, and UCF called me. And, you know, they offered me a scholarship as well. But, you know, I had already made my commitment to Memphis at that point. So, you know, I was honoring my commitment to Memphis, and that's how I got there.
I mean, you're talking about Florida just kind of fell through.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're going through high school, where did you want to play at Florida, Florida State, Miami? Where did you want to end up?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to stay close to home, obviously, because I'd never been away from home. You know, big SEC school, obviously Florida State, ACC, teams like that. All those teams in Florida are great football programs, but, you know, it was kind of hurt my pride a little bit knowing that they didn't kind of chase after me. But at the end of the day, it all worked itself out.
If you would have stayed healthy, you think you would have ended up at one of those schools?
Yeah, I know I talked to a couple scouts, and they were telling me that they thought I had changed positions. Yeah, I don't know why I changed positions my senior year, but that's what they had thought. But like I said, it all worked out.
Talk about, I mean, a year ago, you're probably not thinking that you're going to be sitting here at Radio Row talking about being perhaps the first pick overall, or certainly top five. But you had such a terrific season. What was the difference between, you know, the year before and last year? What made the light come on and really got you where you were comfortable and playing at the level you played all year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously just experience in that offense and experience with those players. You know, we all kind of started together at a young age there. Al has, like, redshirt freshmen, and we kind of got thrown out there. So, you know, we all grew up together and grew together in the offseason, you know, working hard as a team. And Coach Fuente did a great job of pushing all of us as well to play to the best of our abilities. And, you know, we owe a lot of that to him. And, you know, he's a genius when it comes to offense, him and Coach Quinnelson as well, dialing it up and putting us up in good situations. So, you know, there's that, and then there's also just knowing the offense that much better and having that much more confidence in yourself. And, you know, we went on the road and played some good teams close that not this past year but the year before, and you know, that kind of helped us believe that we could beat big teams this year.
You beat Ole Miss, and you get ranked. And
and
really what you guys did, Navy, UH, what that did for the conference in general, was really cool to see all those AAC teams up there.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, though. It was kind of sad how it all turned out because all the good teams played each other at the end, so we were all ranked, and we were all excited, but then we all played each other, and we all beat each other and knocked each other out of the rankings. But the program or the conference has definitely shown its strength this past year, and that's good for the conference.
I mean, obviously, you're one of a handful of quarterbacks this year in the draft that are kind of being talked about as the top group of guys.
Yeah.
What do you think of the other guys that are in that conversation with you? And you know, which of those guys do you, outside of yourself, do you like the best?
Well, I mean, the only thing I've seen of those guys is what I've seen on TV. I haven't got a chance to sit down and talk to them or anything, but I'm sure they're good guys. You know, Jared Goff has done a lot of good stuff over there at Cal. He's played 3 years, you know. And he's played outstanding those 3 years. And then you got Carson Wentz, you know, who goes to a smaller school in North Dakota State. And, you know, he doesn't get the attention he deserves, in my opinion. You know, that's another one of those good players that kind of fell through the cracks. But, you know, he did good in the Senior Bowl, and he's getting all this good attention that he deserves, in my opinion.
Are you excited for everything that's coming up now with the combine, or are you nervous, or is it a combination of the two?
I'm nervous just because I don't know what the heck is going to happen, but I'm also excited that I actually just get to experience all this. I know a lot of, you know, kids growing up don't even get to experience this, that play football, that want to play in the NFL, that never get the chance. But you know, I'm in the position I am, and I'm enjoying it every step of the way as much as I can.
You know, there are a lot of guys when they go to the combine, if you're not a highly touted prospect going in, you want to do everything. You want to show off what you can do.
Yep.
You've got a lot of buzz going into this thing.
Yeah.
Are you going to be one of these guys who just kind of says, I don't want to throw today, and just kind of ride what the buzz is carrying you? Or are you a guy who wants to go in and show what you can do?
I'm definitely going to throw and do all the drills. I'm not, you know, going to sit out anything except for obviously the bench press.
Right.
I don't need to be, hit 225 and maybe getting pinned the first time I try it.
I don't know. look at your boy Cam Newton. He's making some money with that.
Yeah. He's not on the same level as me, but on a completely different level at the same time. But, yeah, I plan on throwing, and, you know, that's a good chance to, you know, compete. Just obviously, you know, I'm not going to be playing any games, so that's my chance to compete against some other guys and get to throw in front of those GMs, all 32 of those GMs and 32 of those head coaches. That's the only time you'll be able to get to do that. And, you know, in my opinion, that's a good time to show off your abilities.
Tell us what you're doing with Wingstop.
Well, Wingstop is just one of my favorite places to eat. After I went and after every game, I'd just get the family, all the roommates, we'd all go eat at Wingstop together. And, you know, they gave me a shirt and they gave me some gift cards to pass out. So, you know, the people that save the best interviews for last for me, you know, gets the gift cards now to
go
eat.
So, all right,
here
on,
you
man.
Go.
Thank you,
I'm
man.
Trying to bribe you guys a little bit, talk me up on the show a little bit more.
All good, yeah. Brother.
You don't need to bribe us, man. I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think you're going to do great in the NFL, man.
I really appreciate
the time. And good luck with the next couple months. They're going to be important for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Paxton Lynch. We'll be right back. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman here at Radio Row.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.